On Monday, April 18th, 2022, the League of Women Voters and the Bozeman Public Library sponsored a forum for candidates for two open seats on the Bozeman School Board. The forum was held in the large community room at the Bozeman Public Library. The forum was moderated by Sally Mason with the League of Women Voters. Due to technical difficulties at the start of the forum, this recording starts with the introductory statement by candidate Lauren D.
I'm rooted in this community, and I grew up going through the Bozeman School District. I earned my elementary education degree from Montana State University, and after teaching at a rural two-room schoolhouse, I became a stay-at-home mom of three wonderful kids. They're currently in second, fifth, and seventh grade. As soon as my oldest was in the district, I was excited to get back in the classroom, this time as a parent volunteer. It was through these various experiences I gained relationships with staff, students, and families. With three kids in multiple activities, from soccer and wrestling to 4-H band, 4-H band and theater, I have ties to many parts of the community. I am consistently building relationships and want to continue that work by bridging people across the entire community with the board. Through my positions on the Hawthorne PAC and the High School Transition Committee, I have been able to engage with our community, gain trust, and offer open communication and a listening ear. I was active on the High School Transition Committee, and there I became familiar with and gained respect for the consensus process, gained a passion for bridging the community and committee, and a respect for the behind-the-scenes work of the committee and board as we pored over data comparing ACT scores, socioeconomic status, free and reduced lunch, and so many other compiled statistics. I enjoyed respectfully collaborating with many other people with different experiences and opinions, and the common goal of keeping children at the center of the room. I enjoyed reading through the emails, listening to the community, working with my fellow committee members, and being there when people had questions. As a former educator at a rural school, I have the vision of the school district through the lens of a teacher. I know the trials and successes of teaching in a multi-grade classroom. I have brought in new curriculum and technology and collaborated with other rural schools and the county superintendent at the time. As the Hawthorne PAC co-president, previously the vice president, I have co-chaired our major fundraisers, and I'm extremely dedicated to our arts program and art fundraiser. I help run monthly meetings, collaborate with staff, help set PAC budget each spring, and coordinate with PAC parent liaisons. Thank you.
Tanya.
Hello. Thank you all for being here tonight. I am Tanya Reinhardt. I am a Montana native and a product of Montana Public Schools. Fun fact, I think, is that my kids are actually the sixth generation to live in the Gallatin Valley of my family. So I think that's kind of a fun point of reference for all of us. I went to college at Montana State University and launched my professional career as an Army officer, where I served for 22 years in the Army, getting out as a lieutenant colonel. I met my husband while we were both serving in the Army, and I've done multiple overseas assignments. We came back into Bozeman in 2011, and I started volunteering. My kids were in elementary school and middle school at the time. And I say the reason I have the courage to run for the school board again is because I chaperoned an overnight middle school field trip. And I think that postured me for success. My love of working with the district was consummated when I started working for the High School Advisory Committee back in 2014-15. Trying to figure out what we were going to do about the extra growth happening at the high school level here in Bozeman and navigating the decision to expand one high school or go on to a second. My first role as a trustee was working to select the architect and the builder for that job, and that was a great way to get some insight on how the district operates as well as the role of a board member. I've served 6 years as a trustee, and the committees that I've been on during that time have been the long-range planning committee, the long-range facilities planning, the district safety committee, and I've also had the opportunity to serve as a delegate for the Montana School Board Association on multiple times. That is a group that meets to discuss legislative initiatives that are pertinent to the state of Montana.
Thank you. Lisa?
Hi, I'm Lisa Weaver, and thanks for being here tonight. I was appointed to the Bozeman School Board by County Superintendent Matt Henry last June, and at the time I had no idea how time-consuming and overwhelming and yet how inspiring and rewarding it would be. I've always been very proud of our district, and seeing all the intricacies from the inside angle, I'm even more impressed. and seeing the incredible investment and sacrifice of our teachers, our leaders, our parents, I'm all the more excited to continue to be a part of this amazing award-winning district. I believe I'm making a difference. In my nine short months, I'm grateful to have played a meaningful role in some significant turning points for our district. The creation of our new student success policy, which dispelled a lot of division in our community and gave us something we could all agree on. It was a brilliant work by Superintendent Bertram. Helping to refocus and rebolster our fine arts program, and the honor of selecting our new superintendent. I've also been working diligently to heal the breach between the district and the community. My husband and I have been in the community for 30 years. Our three daughters came up through the schools, including Longfellow School, which I have the honor of being the board liaison for. Love Longfellow School. I was a regular volunteer in their classrooms and clubs. I did an overnight or two. Bridger Alternative volunteer, CAP mentor. I taught adult ed. I bring 19 years of business experience as an owner and employer, which is something I think is much needed on the school board. I've been in leadership my whole life. My leadership style is empowering people and giving them the tools they need to succeed in their personal spheres of influence.
Thank you. Amber?
Well, hello, and thank you guys for hosting this. This is the first time I've done something like this, so kind of cool. So I am Amber Jepka. I am a wife, a mom, a community member, and a volunteer. I'm originally from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, but I've been here in Bozeman area for over 20 years now. So I consider this my home. I've been here longer than I was in Coeur d'Alene. I met my husband, John, here in Bozeman, who graduated from Bozeman High and Montana State University. We have two boys, Edward and Elliot. One is at Meadowlark and the other at Chief Joseph, both on the west end of Bozeman. I've been very involved in the community. Ooh, I'll set in my... in the school district since our kids joined. I ran the Adult Volleyball League here in town for 8 years, and I worked closely with the Bozeman City Department during that time. I served 6 years on the board for Meadowlark Parent Advisory Council. I was many different roles, but vice president, president, and most recently, treasurer. I also have served on the hiring committee for the high school principals this last, 3 years ago? And I attend the district meetings and have spent the last 3 years working inside the district's two largest elementary schools as a paraprofessional at Meadowlark Elementary and as a food service cashier at Morningstar Elementary. As an involved community member, I've always actively listened and taken steps to make sure we are successful in our vision. I want to be elected because I believe that with my unique experience of working in the schools in many different roles, I can bring that firsthand experience to the board and what the struggles are that our students, our teachers, our parents, and community see. I can bring that younger perspective, and I feel like this will be the key for moving forward in bridging that gap. As elementary is the beginning, is the foundation for every student to be successful.
Thank you, all of you. And we ask the candidates to answer the following question. Why are you running for the school board? And if you're elected, what will be your priorities? Can we start with you, Tanya?
Sure, thank you. I am running because I want to leverage my time and experience on the board. The district has seen a lot of transitions in the last year or so. When we lost Andy Willett and Wendy Tage last year, we lost 22 years of board experience from the trustees. We also are navigating the transitions of a new superintendent. Our deputy superintendent retired, and we had some other losses in the district as well. And I did not feel it was the right time for me to step away. So when a couple of my fellow board members came and asked if I would please consider running again, I gave it a lot of time and thought, and my answer was yes, I will run, and I am asking for your vote tonight. I think that being a trustee takes a lot of time and effort. There's a lot of learning that goes into it, and we have the opportunity to learn from some amazing programs provided throughout the state. I have taken the time to learn the budget funding processes, school law. I've read, I've researched, I've been to Helena, I've advocated on behalf of the district, and I'd like to use that experience to pass on to new trustees that are desiring that knowledge and that skill set as well. Bozeman schools are facing some significant challenges, and I agree with the superintendent that probably our number one issue right now is recruitment and retention in this high-cost environment. So if elected, I would like to continue working with the district to find creative ways to make it more affordable for teachers and staff within the district. We're looking at solutions for housing, transportation, and childcare, to name just a few. My second priority will be working with the district to find other ways to fund public education in Bozeman in particular. There are some concerns that we need to be ready to find alternative sources for funding.
Thank you. Lisa?
Priorities is a big word. I think it can be summed up with one word. Kids are the priority, of course. That said, I do have some concerns, and there's so many different facets to this, but I am deeply concerned about growing mental health and behavior issues in our schools. And I think there's three contributing factors that I'm especially concerned with. The first is studies show that overuse of electronics causes depression and mental health issues with kids as well as a lack of self-control that leads to discipline problems. Teachers are reporting the use of school-issue electronics are actually contributing to the achievement dips that we've been seeing. So we need policy in place to bring balance to this powerful tool. Second, schools need to be a place of carefree innocence. I'm concerned that the early sexualization of children as a national issue that is actually crouching at our doorstep. Studies are clear that exposure to sexual content and sexual ideation has permanent detrimental effects on children, especially under the age of 14. Kids shouldn't be exposed to inappropriate information, ideas, or imagery at school. It can have lifetime effects and open our kids to sexual victimization. We need policies in place immediately to protect our kids. Third, I'm troubled that many parents and teachers are afraid to speak up about these things and don't feel heard when they do. Parents have entrusted the treasure of their precious children to us for 12 years. We are accountable to them. They deserve our honor and respect when they come to us with a concern. They are the experts on their own children and are therefore our most important advisors. They need to know school is a place where our children receive a rigorous education, etc.
Thank you for honoring the time, all of you. Amber?
I am running because I have two kids in the district right now, and I have seen firsthand the struggles we're dealing with. And I desire to be a part of that team to really grow this and grow our programs in the quality education. You know, I've seen our school system when it's working, and I've seen it when it's struggling, and right now it's struggling. For the first time in 20 years, our district had an enrollment drop of 9%, which is why the funding is going to become a thing. You know, and homeschooling has only gone up, and private school has only gone up. So we need to really look at this and figure out why and how we can serve those people. I'm concerned about the teachers and faculty. As of today, I was on the website, and we have 101 job openings. That's a huge number. And some of those are for the fall, but there's a lot that have been left vacant throughout the year. So that will be something that I also want to prioritize, that we look at creative ways to staff our schools and to support our children. Curriculum is another area that I feel like we could do a little bit better on. Our students deserve a well-designed curriculum, and our teachers deserve solid curriculum guidance and materials to allow for similar opportunities within each grade level. This was especially noticeable to me when my kids were in online learning, when we would have others over and I would try to help them, and we'd both be in third grade, but our curriculums were completely different at each school. So I feel like we need to really look at that and invest in that and really streamline it to make it simpler. Second grade has great responses in the new program that we rolled out, Super Kids. Teachers can go home. They don't have to prep when they get home. They can just go home and be with their families. And I think that's going to be huge because we're seeing burnout, I think, because there's no support staff in there to help these teachers. So I think that's a huge, huge part. And I feel like we need to really value their input because they are experts in our community.
And Lauren?
Thank you. Education is not the filling of a pail, but the lighting of a fire, William Butler Yeats. I'm extremely inspired by the work the district is doing to close the enrollment gap, or the achievement gap, sorry, the work on creating environments where all students are successful, and the overall long-range strategic plan. I am running for school board because I want to keep our children at the center of the room. As a parent, a volunteer, a former educator, and a proud community member, I'm impressed with the level of excellence we achieve and the standards to which we hold our educational system accountable. I want to continue this tradition as a board member. As our community grows and changes, I want to continue the focus on the students, the staff, and their needs. I'm committed to working on the long-range strategic plan, moving forward, and creatively finding ways to overcome the obstacles our public schools face. I vow to be a listening ear and a bridge between community and board. As a board member, one of my priorities will be, because of my work in education, I have a passion for early literacy, and working with the Science of Reading and Super Kids, I think it is vital we continue to work on identifying dyslexia and dysgraphia at a young age, providing resources to help teachers with unique learning situations, and helping to create environments where all students thrive. Pinpointing needs at a young age will help us reach our goal of nurturing students who graduate from our schools feeling empowered. When my children entered kindergarten, we filled out a questionnaire, and one question was, what are your hopes for your students this year? And my response was always something along the lines of that a foundation is set where they know the educational environment is safe, positive, respectful, engaging, and inspiring. I want that for all students. It is no secret it is expensive to live in this community, and retaining and gaining quality staff is also a district-wide problem. With this, I want to continue working on the things that Tanya mentioned, such as housing and transportation, in-house daycare, and other creative ideas. But I also want to grow programs such as Project Connect, which I'm the leader of at Hawthorne and a volunteer with CGMS, where community members can step up and fill some of these gaps that are happening because we do need adults in our children's lives. Thank you.
You guys are rock stars. Thank you. And now I'm going to open it to the audience question. We also received some questions via email, and I will take two questions from the audience, and then I'll do one of the ones that was sent. I'm happy to take your questions. I want your questions. I would ask, please, please, please do not make a speech. People have come here to hear the candidates, not to hear us. And so I ask you, please, to not make a speech. And if you begin to do it, I'm going to stop you. I'm a bug about civility and time. So there we are. Okay, you have your hand up, sir.
I'd like their opinion on critical race theory.
Pardon?
I'd like their opinion on critical race theory.
Critical race theory. Okay. I'm going to just pick on people, if that's okay. Is that all right? So you guys don't have to fight about who's doing it or figure it out. We'll start with you because we started with Tanya the last time.
Okay.
You have a minute. Everybody has a minute.
Critical race theory is, there's a lot to it. It's not a curriculum. It's an ideology. So it is not in our schools, as Superintendent Bertram has said. It is not in our schools. It will not be in our schools. It will never be in our schools. It has never been in our schools, something like that. And so I think that's kind of the bottom line for it is that's the bottom line. It's not going anywhere. That said, I think sometimes it can creep into the school classrooms through ideology. And if that is the case, then it is supposed to be reported and acted on. So that's the official position of the school district.
Okay. Amber?
This is a subject of a lot of views and takes. It has become definitely a buzzword within our communities and throughout the country. I feel like it's caused a lot of stress among our parents, students, and staff trying to navigate that world. I believe it's important that we teach acceptance in a wide range of views. I believe we must teach all of history, the good and the bad. And I believe that each student and their family should feel welcome and accepted in our district, that every opinion is valid and allowed. And, you know, I think we have something special, and that's we're very open and listening. And I think we need to continue that as we move forward in some of these hard topics and go back to the community and, you know, do the consensus and really get the feel on that.
Okay. Thank you. Warren?
Thank you. As was stated previously, CRT is not currently in the schools and is an ideology being studied at the college level. And it is a buzzword, and it is something that has become divisive among our community. It's a word that triggers emotions and different definitions for different people. I think when we are approaching any subject, we do need to realize that other people have different opinions, and we want to teach our children to be empathetic. And so with that, we need to teach various opinions and various ideas and various experiences of history. When I was a teacher and I was working on the Lewis and Clark unit, I had each of my students choose a different person from history on the Corps of Discovery. And after we would learn about something, they would each journal from that point of view, and then we would share it. And I think it is very important that we know what other people are coming to the table with, what they carry, and that is the way we will learn and grow. And so I am very inspired by the work with the district and want to continue creating those empathizing, encouraging environments. Thank you.
Interesting enough, back in March of 2021, when I first got an email regarding critical race theory, the first thing I did was called up Central Office to ask what it was. And they said, "Not sure, we're doing some research." So critical race theory is not a part of our curriculum. There are no plans for it to be part of the curriculum, and those statements are exactly true. Race does play a factor in our schools, however. We study history, we study literature, we study music from different cultures and communities. So I am very proud of the work that the district has done in the last 2 years. This is not a new thing. We started working on our equity group 2 years ago. We continued with that work and have the student success policy 3610. I'm very proud of the work that went in that. There was a lot of great community input and insight that came out of the conversations throughout the last year. And I think the important thing is that all students have value, and we want to ensure that every one of them feels as though they are accepted.
Okay.
I started.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I need a keeper. Another question? We have no questions. Oh, hang on a minute. There's one. Yes.
I know that reading, writing, arithmetic, those are all really important, but we can't teach kids who aren't healthy. And over the years, the budgets have gone down, and healthy lifestyles.
Question, yeah. Please.
What's that?
Question.
Yeah, healthy lifestyles needs to be taught. How will you support the curriculum and the expenditures for teaching our kids healthy lifestyles?
Okay, thank you. Amber?
Well, I think our AG program has really started doing a lot of this. I know I got to sub a couple of times when we were short-staffed in there, and some of those were on the healthy topics. And when we would run like our fun run program at Meadowlark, that whole week was dedicated to a healthy habits and, you know, encouraging kids to be active, what types of foods are healthy. And so I feel like our curriculum is a good, robust program currently. But we will have to ensure that as we move forward and our budgets continue to decrease. But it is already set, and it's something that gets taught to all the kids currently. But it's definitely something we need to make sure all of our students know and recognize what is healthy and what is not.
Okay.
Thank you. I have been very impressed with some of the programs being implemented in my children's schools concerning healthy lifestyles. Teaching in a rural school, I also taught PE. And this has been something that's very important to me. I believe that without good nutrition, proper sleep, students can't do well in school. And I, though it's been a few years, went to a brain conference while I was teaching, and we talked a lot about what the brain looks like when it is dehydrated, what it looks like, and it's considerably smaller, what it looks like when you eat an apple paired with cheese versus just an apple. These are things that my kiddos have heard me say a million times. They're sitting in the back, and so they're probably thinking they could say this speech as well. But healthy lifestyle is extremely important to me, and our elementary PE teacher actually just sent home a Healthy Habits recording program for our students to engage the parents as well, because a lot of that work needs to also happen at home. And I am committed to educating and helping our students on this matter. Thank you.
Okay. Tanya?
I'm trying to figure out how to answer the question, because I am confident that we are teaching healthy lifestyles in our schools. I'm looking out there at a couple teachers right now, and I feel really good at what they are doing. What Lauren is saying about the PE teachers sending home information, it's not just the physical health that we are looking at for kids right now. It's also their emotional health as well. We did have some funding dry up through what was called the Safe TI grant, which was a critical program that we had in the Bozeman School District. It was a grant from the Justice Department, and it helped us do some tremendous work in the areas of mental health. When that was a five-year grant. When we lost that, it coincided with the timing of losing CSCT training as well and funding from the state. So we are not in a budget crisis in any way, shape, or form. I'm not sure where somebody heard that our budget has decreased, because it hasn't. We have a very healthy district, and I think our curriculum does a great job of working towards social-emotional health for all of our students. Is the mental health a problem in Montana? Absolutely. And we do need to continue to work to make sure that we are providing the students the best resources possible as well.
Lisa?
Yeah, health is good. I don't know that I have anything to add. I do think we have some great resources going on and some good things happening in our school districts, and obviously we want that to continue. Totally agree that mental health is probably the biggest area of concern. I already spoke to that, but I would like to see some investment of time and energy in there. Healthy lifestyles is really what it boils down to, is healthy mindsets. And so we need to equip people, students as well as parents, do some equipping for healthy mindsets that will lead to healthy lifestyles. So there might be some adult education and parent information that needs to bolster what we're doing in the classrooms.
And here's one of the questions that was sent in to us. Nationally, there is a current push to challenge books in school libraries. What do you believe is the role of school board trustee if books were to be challenged in the Bozeman District? And now we're going to start with Lauren.
Okay. Thank you. I'm an avid reader and a lifelong learner. My children are avid readers, and I believe that we learn a lot of perspective and a lot of things through books, and that books should be available to our students. As with all decisions, I am a very middle-of-the-road person who likes to unify and hear from all sides. I will take each case by case to look into what is in the schools or what are people's concerns. But I do believe that our students need access to resources and that books can be some of the best educators.
Okay. Tanya?
I think we have as a board member, we have a good policy in place right now. We have the 1700 series, which is a uniform complaint resource that is available to all parents and community members. If a parent is unhappy with something that they find in their child's backpack, we have a policy called 2314, which also allows them to bring that to the attention of the teacher. I think it starts right there. It should not necessarily be a board issue. If it is solved the way it's supposed to be, the parent finds something in a backpack that they don't think is age appropriate, which I did for my own children, mm-hmm. called the teacher up and said, I love this book, but it is not appropriate for a third grader. I would wait and have her read it in seventh grade. And the teacher was like, oh my goodness, yes, absolutely. I didn't know she'd gotten a hold of it. So it was a great conversation between the teacher and the parent, and it was resolved at that level. In the last 6 years as a board member, we have not had one complaint around books raised to the board. So I think the system works when parents use it. So if anybody is unhappy about a book in their child's backpack, please contact the teacher. If it's not resolved there, then you've got policy 2314 that you can use.
Okay.
I would add to that that we have, I think some of our policies about books need to be bolstered a little bit because times are changing and materials are changing and things that are making their way into our libraries are changing. So, where we are bound by oath of office to uphold federal laws, state laws, and local laws, as well as the policies of the local district. And if there are books in the library that break those laws or break our policies, then those need to be reconsidered. But again, it starts with those actually should not even be in our library to begin with. But if, as Tanya said, if there's a problem with a particular book ideologically, then it goes through the process, first with the teacher, then with the principal, then with the district, and then there's an evaluation process that takes about 8 weeks to go through the full process to really evaluate it based on those criteria and the criteria of what our standards are as a district. So.
Well, I don't have a whole lot to add. They've covered quite a bit of ground on that. But I would say I think we just need to educate parents more on what their rights are on that and how to do it, and that there are these policies in place. I think a lot of times parents sign off on the handbook saying they read it all, and you don't. You just sign another piece of paper. And so I think we just need to be better about being more transparent on what is out there for parents when having a complaint like this or a concern like this.
Okay. Question in the back, woman in the back.
Hi. Recently, a group of parents asked the superintendent, Casey Bertram, and a select group of board members to resign based on the following claims: violation of oath of office, among other things, for bullying of students, deprivation of rights, practicing medicine without a license, transfer of obscene materials to children, violating the 1964 Civil Rights Act, violating the UN Children Protection Act,
excuse me,
Geneva Convention of the Child.
Would you ask your question, please?
I certainly am.
This is getting to be a long question.
I know it is, because it's a long issue. The Geneva Declaration of the Child and the Nuremberg Code. Additionally, they demanded that cessation of all mention of gender identity and sexual orientation happen. They didn't resign, and so the insurance company was sued for our school district. So my question is, were your colleagues guilty of these crimes?
Say that again, just the last sentence, please.
Were your colleagues truly guilty of these crimes?
Okay. Did you hear the question?
I did hear the question, and I would like to just answer on behalf of the panel let Lisa answer as well if she would like. But I don't think this is for people that are currently running to have to address. The question has taken copious amounts of time, money, and resources from the central office. I am really glad you brought that out because I would like the community to know that it is this kind of information that is distracting from the support we are able to give our teachers and our students. So, no, I did not choose to resign, nor did my fellow board members. In fact, we are running again with renewed enthusiasm. Thank you.
Lisa?
It feels a little bit awkward because I think this is a panel that it's not a question that we all have opportunity to answer. But I will speak to it since it came up. I have not seen the paperwork. I don't know what the charges are, and I'm not a judge, so I'm not going to sit in judgment over my peers. I'm sure it is very time-consuming. I'm sure the people who brought the concerns had reasons that they brought the concerns, and I'm sorry it didn't get resolved in a different way, but I'm not in a position to make a judgment about their guilt or not.
I mean, I don't have a whole lot of knowledge on it, so I wouldn't be able to speak much on that.
And Warren?
I also was not there. So
okay.
I'll keep.
Okay. More question? Yes, ma'am.
I'd be interested in having each candidate speak a little more to the budget. We've heard the budget's going down. It's terrible. We've heard we're in a healthy place. I'd like for each of you to kind of speak on where you feel the budget is, kind of what your vision for what your role in the budget can be, or I heard there are some new ideas. So.
Thank you. Okay. Lisa.
Yeah, my understanding, first of all, I think Mike Waterman, who's our business guy, he does a brilliant job working on the budget. He makes it very transparent and very user-friendly. He communicates very well about it. And they're working really hard to compensate for some discrepancies that there are. There is a slight deficiency, but they're not worried about it because they feel like they can work around that and find solutions. And there is an increase in high school enrollment that's compensating for the decrease in the elementary school enrollment. And so they're feeling like that's going to even itself out in the next year or two. So I do think, you know, we're in a time when we don't really know what to expect. We have, they've been able to determine pretty precise accuracy how many children are going to be entering into kindergarten and so forth, but they haven't factored in some of the changes that are happening with the homeschooling and the private school that is making some adjustments to the calculations. So I think they're working really hard to figure out how do we adapt to this kind of different place that we're in that we don't really know what to expect. But I don't think that they're anxious about it, and I think that we're going to find great solutions going forward.
Amber?
Well, I think with Mike Waterman at the lead, we're in very, very good hands. He is very on top of things, and I'm constantly impressed by him and how easily I can understand the budget with him. He makes it very transparent and why we're doing things and where we're getting savings and where we're moving things. So I really would lean on him with the budget because he is brilliant and he has a team that is brilliant behind him. But, you know, if our enrollment stays, we don't have elementary 9 coming on board now. And I think in the presentation I heard Mike say that he's thinking 10 years now. So we don't have that. And so that has kind of taken a little bit of pressure off the budget. Knowing that they don't have that coming immediately down the pipeline. So I do think we're in a good spot, but we do need to always be constantly aware of where we're at and how we're using our money in the district.
Okay, thank you. Lauren?
First of all, from Casey and Mike Waterman's speech that they've been giving throughout the community, my big takeaway was with this next levy, there will be big asks, but big offsets, and I think that is huge. But I think you more were asking how would we work with the budget, and I'm going to once again liken this to education. When I
created a lesson plan, I didn't just start with what am I going to input. I decided, what is my output? What is my outcome? And one of our outcomes for this district is to have, we want successful students. We want environments with successful students. And so my framework, my mind when setting a budget is we need to work backwards and find the input that brings this outcome. And so for me, because successful students and successful educational environments is the encompasses our main goals as a district, the input will be dedicating our finances to teachers and resources.
Okay. Tanya?
So the general fund budget is the one that I think we need to pay the most attention to. It's the first operating levy that we are asking voters to approve in the request that went out in the ballots. And that is 90% of that budget goes to salaries and benefits for teachers and staff. And so as long as that is passed, we do not have a problem with the budget. So if we are to, as a community, pass these three levies that the district has requested, we will have ample funds to do everything that we need to do to meet the strategic goals of the long-range strategic plan. So I would ask that you take time to review this flyer. Each one of you in the district should have gotten this in the mail. And it shows, I think, how the school board and the district are really good at looking at the resources available. And when we have extra, we give it back. And so that is a prime example of what's happening here. We are asking for an increase in the general fund, and the other, it will be offset by the other two levies. And so I think we are good. I can't think of the word I wanted right now, but we take care of the resources. We know they're limited, and we care about that, and we're paying a lot of attention. And I'm proud of the district's fiduciary responsibility.
Okay. Here's another question that was submitted. What role do school trustees play in decisions about curriculum in Bozeman Public Schools? And Amber?
Well, as a school trustee, I think, we work alongside the team that creates this. There's a task force that is curriculum-based, and we have to always have that. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. Can you repeat it?
That happens.
So that I say it correctly.
Yes. What role do school trustees play in decisions about
Thank
curriculum
you.
In Bozeman Public Schools?
Yes. So we have to take the information that they've gathered from these sessions and the information that the superintendent brings to us and then thoughtfully talk amongst it and listen to our community and make sure that we are voting on something that is consensus driven and something that's good for the whole school community and that has our teachers backing. I believe that is our role.
Okay. Lauren?
Thank you. I believe that teachers have spent years in school and going to conferences and doing their research. And as science changes and we find out how children learn differently, we need to be up with the times and we need to support those teachers. It is important that we collaborate and work together. It was posed to me, we're like a stool, and if all of the legs are not the same height, then our children who are on this stool are going to fall. And so we all need to work together to put the students first. I do think that it is important that we listen to the people who know the science behind education. It is and how we are educated. I think it is very important to listen to the professionals and then work together to decide what is best for our students.
Okay. Tanya?
I think there's three things that the board is responsible for. Helping to make sure that we recognize the need that the teachers bring to us or the community members when there is a need for a change in curriculum. We need to fund that curriculum, and we need to provide the professional development to the teachers so that they can implement it and reap the benefits of that curriculum. Curriculum without teachers who are comfortable using it will fall flat, and so making sure that the teachers are part of that process from beginning to end is essential.
Okay. Lisa?
I would agree with that. I think it's easy to throw curriculum and new programs at teachers, and there's a lot more to it that requires a lot of homework on their part and takes time away from their families and so forth. So there needs to be built into it the process of them having the time professionally to be equipped with that they're paid for, so they're not taking that home to their kids. But there's the role of the board is we get a page about a mile long of curriculum things that have to be reviewed, and it's impossible for us to review them. We're relying on the intelligence of the people who sent us that those recommendations, and trusting that they fit the parameters of the policies and the goals involved. But we want to see great curriculum for our kids. So,
question from the audience? Yes, ma'am.
If it were to be found that racist and bigoted language and actions are being taken by students in the Bozeman School District, what role does the board and the school have in addressing that? And the second part of that is, what role does the school board and school district have in identifying whether an increase of those incidents is true or is just true?
Okay. So your question is about racism, bottom
and
line.
Just for clarification, are you saying coming from teachers to students or student to student?
Student to student. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Lauren, you want to start?
It's my turn first. As I stated earlier, I am a firm believer that our main priority in public schools is to have safe, engaging, respectful environments where all students feel welcome. Every single student should walk through our school doors and feel that they are seen by every adult. And we are going to have differences, but there will be respect. I believe that it is not only the board's job, but our community's job to make sure that we are raising the kids that are not creating these environments and that we are stopping it when we see it. As a board, I feel that these are things that we will have to approach at the time, and I will collaborate with those who have more experience on what our parameters are in action. But I do believe that every single classroom should be one that every single kid is welcome to walk into.
Okay. Tanya?
Lauren is exactly correct that we are committed to safe classrooms, safe schools, and safe environments. We do have the non-discrimination policies in place, and those do apply to students as well. So those are issues, though, that should be resolved right in the classroom with the teacher. And if they are not, then you take it to the building administrator. I do not think it would go any farther than that, but there are processes to follow, and it goes right back to that uniform complaint process that I would encourage you to follow as well. If there's a problem in your classroom, the first step is to take it to the teacher.
Lisa?
Yeah, I think a lot of times with things like that is people just don't know how to respond to it. And so a lot of times it doesn't get reported or addressed because it's scary. And I think the entire board, the entire district on a whole is deeply committed to making sure that our schools are a place where everyone is treated with respect and honor, regardless of what their background is, what their race is, what their religion is, what their orientation is, what their gender is, any of those things, their political orientation is like all of those things are sacred to the individual and need to be protected. But they need to be dealt with on a relational basis, and I think a lot of times they are. If the teacher is aware, they can address it with the student. I think the next step would be to address it with the parent, because a lot of times those behaviors are being initiated at home. And so for the teacher to have a conversation with the parent before taking it to the principal would be an important next step.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of what they've said, but we need to make sure that our district is supporting our students and really educating them that it is okay to go to somebody and that we have adults readily available. I think that is something that I've experienced, is that without having that support staff, it's not as easy for these kids to go find somebody. They're really busy. They're working very hard in our schools, and these things are sometimes happening. And I think we do need to address it and make sure that there's a space that these kids can go to, that they feel welcome, and that it's a trusting and warm environment for them to be safe and to share these. And then, yes, the teacher needs to be notified, and then it shouldn't go further than admin after that point.
Okay. Another question? Yes, sir.
So Ms. Weaver alluded earlier to teaching sexuality in schools and concerns about inappropriate information being passed to the kids. So my question is, what should or shouldn't be taught in that area, and what is inappropriate information?
Okay, good question. Okay, Tanya, you're it. It's just your turn came up. Sorry.
It's my turn. I think that we rely on our teachers. They have the training. So first of all, Montana has core curriculum that we are mandated to follow. And so there is core curriculum that's set in Helena that we follow. In addition to that, we have provided professional development training for teachers on having tough conversations. And so we have that opportunity available for them. I do think, I had a conversation just last week with our superintendent. I think if we were to talk about the sexual ed curriculum, it does need to be revised. And so I think that will probably be something that will be in the works in the next couple years. I think it will start at the state level. And I think we will probably be involved in those conversations. But we will have experts that will help guide those discussions and everything. In the meantime, we work to ensure that our teachers follow the core curriculum set by the Office of Public Instruction, and we make sure that the teachers are trained on how to deliver that age-appropriate curriculum.
Lisa?
I had a conversation with a parent recently whose child goes to one of our middle schools, and he felt like there wasn't enough being done about sex education for his child. He said they're being taught biology, they're being taught abstinence, but he felt like it needed to be taken further than that. I think it's awesome that we're teaching biology and we're teaching abstinence, because scientifically that's the safest thing to do for a kid's sexual health, physical health, mental health. Psychology will support that across the board. So for my recommendation to him was keep doing what you're doing. He was educating his own child to another level at home, based on his values and what he felt like his child needed to know. And I think that's a perfect way to do it.
Okay. Amber?
Yeah, I think in regards to the curriculum, it always needs to be age appropriate. And I would guess to add to what has already been said, my son just went through it in middle school. And we had great discussions at home, and the teacher was very transparent with me, because I have a son that likes to ask a lot of questions, so I asked her if I could get the material ahead of time to kind of be prepared for what talks we might have. And so it was a really great open-ended conversation with my son. But I think it needs to make sure we're doing age-appropriate. And you do have the opportunity to opt your child out in the school district, so that is always an option, too, if you don't feel like that's the curriculum you want.
Okay. Lauren?
Thank you. As I said earlier, my two oldest children are in 7th and 5th grade, and so we are, like Amber said, right in the middle of this, and my kids are, you know, coming home with the slip to sign so that they can partake in the curriculum. And I have to say, though, I always think things can be updated and changed. As a parent, I felt very comfortable with what the school was doing. The teachers that they had with the students, I felt were well equipped, and they each sent a letter that included video and information on what the students would be seeing. So if we had questions or if we had concerns, that could all be in the forefront, not afterwards and trying to clean up a mess. All of my kids felt comfortable, and they felt that it was age appropriate. And I agree, a lot of those conversations need to happen at home. I am very blessed to have a very open family where we are having those conversations, but there's a lot of kids that aren't. There are a lot of kids that do not have that relationship or that knowledge, and it's important that we are providing it in the schools.
Okay. Another question that was sent in. What are the most effective ways for parents to be involved in their child's education? And we're starting with Lisa.
Okay, read the question again.
Yeah. What role? No, wrong question. What are the most effective ways for parents to be involved in their child's education?
Good. That's great. I love that question.
Oh, good.
Because I feel like parents are our greatest resource. And so I... being involved in the classroom, if you can. I know some people, especially in our community, a lot of times people have two or three jobs, but if you can be in the classroom at all, that is the best thing. The kids feel so loved when you're there and present, and then you can see what's happening and going on. Ask the questions. Get the stuff in advance, like Amber was saying, if there's a hot topic that's coming up. Sit down and read with your children at night. And if you have a concern, be sure to go to the teacher first ASAP while it's still fresh, and make sure you have a dialogue with them about it. A lot of times things get misconstrued in the translation, and to get have a sit-down conversation with the teacher about what's happening in the classroom is really, really helpful.
Amber?
Yeah, volunteer is a huge part of how you can get, if you have time. I mean, being on the PAC has been the most special time for me. Not only did I get to be super involved in raising money for the school and hosting fundraising events, but my kids were excited to see me in the school. And some of my best friends are from being in that group. So get involved. Project Connect, like Lauren was saying, is launching through the schools. And it's a great way to just be a morning greeter and smile and make those kids feel loved. Not every child's going to be able to have their parent there. And so, you know, the more parents we can have and the more community members we can have will make such a big difference in those kids' lives. And really communicate with your teacher if you have concerns. I mean, teachers love talking about the kids. They should go home, but they will continue to sit there and talk about your kid. So don't ever feel like you can't talk to them.
And Lauren?
Volunteering is the best way to get in the classroom, see the kids, see how they interact, see how the teacher teaches and what is being implemented. But it is also not something that everybody can do. And if you are working 8 to 5 or just time constraints. So I think it is extremely important to build a relationship with your children's teachers. I think it is important to have open communication. So when the hard conversations have to happen, if they have to happen, that you've already set down a foundation and have respectfully collaborated with your kid in the center as the main, as the person that you both are caring about and concerned with. I do believe volunteering in the schools is a wonderful way to see everything. There is a joke at Hawthorne, does she work here or is she volunteering again? Because I am there a lot. And it's supportive to the teachers and for those kids whose parents can't be there. But it's also, the teachers are great at sending out newsletters, and it's important for the parents to use that education to further the conversations at home.
And Tanya?
I think the parents' responsibility is to be engaged before there's a problem. Take advantage of the opportunities that the district provides to go in and meet the teachers immediately at the beginning of the school year and establish that rapport so that when there is a hard conversation to be had, it would be easier for everybody involved. I also think that since we have the opportunity here to give advice to parents unsolicited, except for the one who asked the question, I would turn the TV off, put the phone down, and have a conversation. I would love to see families try to find a meal that they could have together. If you can't make dinner work, have breakfast together. Ask your kids what's going on in their world. Ask them for two positives and a negative. And push them. Don't let them just say, nothing. ask the open-ended questions and engage them, and you will be rewarded. And for the grandparents in the room, ask your grandchild what they're reading. What are you learning? Tell me more. I think that's the best thing parents can do is converse.
Okay, another question. A couple more questions, and then we're going to wrap up. Yeah.
With the growing prices in our cost of living in town, how, as a board member, will you work to keep up with the wages and allow our teachers to be able to stay in town and be able to afford the rent and a home?
Okay. Emma?
My turn first. Okay. Well, I think the district is on the ball on this one. They actually, in their presentations, have been talking about how we're looking at how we can help with housing and transportation, because there's a lot of people that don't live in town anymore. So we're looking at creative options for that. It's hard with the salary part because it is reliant on these bonds passing and how much we are able to do. So we're going to have to continue to work creatively, but I feel like our board has already kind of jumped on that and our district has jumped on that, and we know where we're headed, and it's only going up at this point. So we do all need to be very well aware of that and supporting where we can and supplementing where we can on that.
Okay, thanks. Lauren?
Thank you. It is no secret. It is becoming increasingly expensive to live here. And what a lot of people do not realize is the amount that we can pay our staff is actually capped across the state. And so no matter you live in somewhere like Bozeman or Missoula, and Kalispell was the other one we heard, or if you live in a smaller town where you could buy 5 Bozeman houses for the same price, the salary is capped. And so we do have to be creative. This is where the district is looking into things like in-house daycare or transportation models and housing. But I think this is also where we can all step up as a community. I am a firm believer that the more positive engagements that children have with adults, the more successful we will have in our successful schools, we will have in successful students. So that is why I started implementing Project Connect in Hawthorne when it spread into the middle school or into the elementary schools, and why I am the point of contact there and volunteer with the program in CGMS. This is a program that every single community member can be a part of and just have to give 15 to 30 minutes a day, and it's another, or, you know, a week, and it's another adult contact and filling some of the gaps that we have in our district.
Tanya?
I think the only other thing that hasn't been mentioned is ensuring that we create a happy place for teachers to come to work and provide a culture where they want to come to work. Mm-hmm. Because those salaries are capped, you know, we could increase the salary of the teachers, but then we would have to do that at a layoff because we have as much money as we've got. And so the other areas that we can work is to ensure that we are supporting teachers, that we're thanking them for what they do, and that we are finding value in what they're doing. We also need to be working with Montana State University and other schools to try to reduce the costs of getting the degree so that they aren't looking for needing so much to pay back their student loans and things like that. So it's going to take a lot of creative conversations. We'll be seeking input from the community as well as from other districts around the state. And it's not going to be something that Bozeman has to tackle alone. We'll be working with other districts as well to try to solve these challenges.
Okay.
Yeah, the levies that are coming out, again, it was mentioned earlier that they are important for this because they're the general budget. So keep in mind that there's a cancellation, like the ones that they're asking for, there's also some that are coming off. And so the increase, I think, is only like $1.23 per $100,000 house times whatever your house is worth. So that's very important. But I agree. I think our teachers do love their job. That's why they're doing it. They love their job. They love coming to work. But they have been under an extreme amount of stress these last couple of years, especially. And because a lot of teachers have dropped out, either because they can't handle, you know, the stress has overwhelmed them. I shouldn't say they can't handle it. It's just overwhelming. Or because they can't afford to live in the community any longer. And so that the stress has mounted because of all these circumstances. We need to find ways to relieve the stress, increase the staffing, and so that they can love their jobs again.
Okay. One more question. Ma'am.
All right. Just three of the qualities I look for in a trustee is knowledge and familiarity and just an acknowledgement of the reality of our district. So I'm curious what you think the role of the board is to address the socioeconomic differences in our 8 elementary schools, our 2 middle schools, and our 2 high schools. For those of you who aren't familiar, there are some real differences in our schools, as evidenced by volunteers,
okay,
or lack thereof, technology in our schools, field trips in our schools, teachers in our schools. So what is the role of the board to address some of this?
Thank you. Lauren.
Thank you very much. I believe that we need to continue working on our long-range strategic plan of keeping kids in the center of the room and making sure that we are creating successful environments. Though Bozeman does have some amazing opportunities, as you alluded to, there are also a lot of kids who are vulnerable, and we are failing them as a community, and we need to make sure that we're pinpointing where those are and changing things. I know as boundaries have been realigned, that has been looked at a lot. When I was on the high school transition committee, we looked at the socioeconomic status, English as a second language, differing math scores, activity of PAC, Parent Advisory Council roles, and really spent a lot of time looking at the data from the years past, even looking down into the elementary grade levels, not just the middle schools that were going into the high schools, to try to create 2 equal high schools. And I think we need to continue our work on that. Thank you.
Tanya?
So Bozeman has had a lot of success over the past 20 years. We come out at the top of a lot of the AA standard test scores when compared with the others. But we're not satisfied with that. As a board, for the last 6 years that I've been on it, I can speak to that, we have worked to find opportunities for improvement. Where are we not succeeding to the extent that we want to succeed? What schools are facing different challenges than others? We need to pay close attention to that and try to figure out why there are differences in test scores and things like that. What impact does it have when a district doesn't have the parent volunteers in the classroom? And knowledge is power, and so that is part of what the board has wanted to do, is really shine the light into those corners and figure out what causes some of those contradictions in test scores and opportunities in the different schools. And so I think we are doing that. I think it is our responsibility to do that. It is to ask the hard questions and really work to explore ways to fix those opportunity gaps.
Okay. Lisa?
So the question was about socioeconomic differences. Correct. And so we recognize that there are neighborhoods that are more affluent than other neighborhoods, and so that affects the local school. And we like having neighborhood schools because there's a value to that, but then that's also one of the things that's kind of on the flip side. So when you have a PAC in an affluent neighborhood that's, you know, packing in the money and they've got all kinds of extra money to spend, but then there's another neighborhood that doesn't have that. And so how do we balance that out? I think is maybe a question to reconsider how do we do that? Maybe what's worked in the past might need to be reconsidered so that we can kind of spread the pot around a little further. It's important. I think it's important to get extra people. How do we, when we don't have those families coming in and being part of the classroom, then how can we compensate for that? That will help as well. So,
okay. Amber?
You know, this is something that I really noticed at cashiering up at Morningstar, is really the realization of what, you know, you get to see students, the free and reduced lunch program, you know, we have assigned numbers for our students on who pays full price, who is partial, and who doesn't pay at all. And it really, it was surprising, and I don't think we talk enough about it in our district, because I was really quite shocked by the number that was on, or the number of students that we were dealing with. And it impacts how much they can learn when they don't have that. So we need to constantly be looking at this. I don't think this is something you look at once. I think it's something that has to be analyzed all the time. I know one of the discussions that was being had, we had monthly superintendent meetings when I was the PAC president, and we had talked about doing a super PAC. And because there are PACs that are very, very engaged, and they raise a lot of money because those parents, depending on whether or not they're, you know, able to volunteer or not, or donate. Sorry, I'll stop. But anyways, I think there is creative ways that we can look at this, and that was one of them brought up.
Okay. So now we're going to have a two-minute summary from each candidate. And before we do that, I want to thank all of you for the level of civility and kindness tonight. I've moderated a lot of forums, and I was concerned about this one because the level of civility in Bozeman seems to have been tanking lately. And so I was worried about doing more forums because I was worried about the civility. And you've all been very civil, and I'm most appreciative. Okay, Tanya.
First of all, thank you all for being here tonight, and the League of Women Voters for having us, and for those of you who gave up a Monday night to be with us, I really do appreciate that. And I think the take-home message that I would like you all to have is that I want your vote, not because Bozeman Public Schools are in crisis, but because they are succeeding. We have amazing stories to tell. We have amazing students. We have Teachers of the Year. We have Coaches of the Year. We have an incredible program from kindergarten up through high school, and I want that to continue. I would like to continue working on the long-range strategic plan and the vision that the district has come up with. I would like to help fund it. I want to be able to continue to boast about all the amazing things we've done. And at the same time, I want to find those opportunities for improvement. Bozeman will not rest on its laurels. We want to continue to be a board that other boards come to for advice, for insight, for ideas, for creative solutions. I think that that is what makes us so strong and so unique. Our board is highly functioning, highly informed, very educated, and I'd love to continue working at leading the way with that district and the board. Early literacy continues to be one of our big goals. We want to continue to push that. We need our levies to be passed. I cannot say that as a board member, but I can say that as a candidate and as a community member. So I, for one, will be making sure that I cast my ballot for those. The bottom line is we have amazing students, we have amazing teachers, and we are doing things the right way. We are not broken. We do not have a problem. We have opportunities for improvement. And I am so proud of the work that the board has done and the central office leadership and our teachers. It is amazing, and it feels good. And I have felt so validated in the last 6 weeks since announcing that I was going to go ahead and run again. It's been a great feeling. So I appreciate all of you being here tonight, and I do ask for your vote. I want to continue to lead our school district, and as a trustee.
Okay.
For you.
Lisa?
Thank you also for all of you being here and for your interest in our schools. I mean, I think that's amazing, and I think that's one of the things that makes our schools so great is that the community is very involved. And I think it's astounding to me that all over the state, people are looking to Bozeman for what are we doing? How are we doing it? How can we do that where we're at? And even other states are looking to us for our fine arts program, our academics, and some of the breakthrough things that we have been able to do. So I'm excited about that. I personally want to continue the good work, and I feel like I've been, I've really enjoyed being a part of this. I've just gotten a running start in these last 9 months. I want to dive in even deeper. I stand for a rigorous education for all students, that that should be a priority of the district and our teachers. I believe it is. I stand for parents advocating for their children and teachers advocating for their students. I stand for strong mental health for our students and teachers, and these are values that, and if you share those values, vote for me. And finally, I believe my 19 years of business experience is valuable. We need more business-minded people to balance things out on the board. And so if you believe in quality education and restoring strong mental health for our students, if you believe in parents having a voice, if you believe in keeping politics out of the classroom, vote for me. I'll do a good job for you.
Okay. Amber?
Well, thank you, everyone. This is my first time ever doing something like this, and it was very pleasant and very fun and exciting to talk about our schools and our students and teachers. So thank you for that. In closing, I am 100% committed to supporting our students, our teachers, our parents, and our community, and the administration. I want and value to the team aspect, and I want to be a part of that team. And I feel like I bring a pretty big hands-on insight into what's happening. You know, being in the schools the last 3 years, it was eye-opening during that all. We went through a lot in those challenges, the challenges that came with it, and having to be by the sides of those students, it was one of the best worst things ever, you know? But I feel like that experience is what needs to be on the board, because we don't have that currently, and I really do want to bring that. Kids are my priority, and I want to also advocate for our teachers and what they're feeling. And I've developed really great relationships with a lot of them, and I want to be that voice for them on the board. I've always felt like the strength comes from listening to different perspectives, so I will always listen, and I will always push for that. I will always support the Bozeman Consensus Way, because that is a proven and tried method, and it works. We need to keep continuing to do that. I will always put our students first. I will always listen to the valuable input of my constituents, and I will always respectfully and thoughtfully and with the best knowledge that I have vote on policies put in front of me. It would be an absolute honor and privilege to serve my community and our students and teachers and parents as your next board trustee. Thank you.
Okay. And Lauren?
Thank you very much for being here this evening and for taking interest in our district and those who hope to bridge our community and board. It is vital that we work together to create quality public educational opportunities for all students. We have the ability, for our community to thrive, the ability for our community to thrive correlates with the strengths and successes of its public school system. And I believe in our public schools. I believe that we have an amazing educational program here in Bozeman, and I want to serve our community to keep it as strong as it is. I am a lifelong learner. I will ask the questions. I will listen. I will look at the data, and I will be transparent and an open communicator. I will respectfully collaborate with others to do right by our unique community. I have a passion for exceptional and robust education. I'm endorsed by many teachers and principals because I'm dedicated to keeping kids at the center of the room. I have a strong commitment to teachers and staff, educational experience through the lens of a teacher, a parent, and a volunteer, and I have experience with and appreciation for the consensus process. I have an apolitical, common sense approach to problem solving. I'm the parent on the playground. I'm in the classroom. I'm supporting the teachers. I'm creatively finding ways to tackle obstacles and advocating for our educational programs. I'm cheering on the sidelines or taking in a band concert and building relationships with staff, students, and families. As one of my endorsers stated, Lauren D. is an ideal candidate for the school board. She demonstrates her commitment to the schools every day, not just on the PAC, but with boots on the ground, volunteering for our theater program, hedgehog jog, field trips, et cetera, et cetera. Lauren really knows the community, and every time I see her, she's greeting parents and high-fiving kids both on campus and off. She is an authentic Bozemanite, but has shown our transplant family nothing but kindness and welcome. And with that, I vow to be a listening ear, a bridge between community and board, because communication, transparency, and trust are vital parts in making this happen. I am dedicated to upholding these standards and would appreciate your support. Thank you.
And join us in the fall when we will be doing a whole raft of candidate forums. It's a big election. And thank you so much for spending your evening with us. I'm so appreciative.